Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
Daryl, how you feeling?
Feeling good, feeling chilly.
We haven't even hit the water yet.
You know, I got a couple layers on. I got my long johns on, got my boots, so I'm ready. Folks, you are listening to The Common, but we are taking you on an adventure. This is for all the people who never wore a life jacket before.
On a sunny day in March, Common producer Caitlin Harrop and I put on life jackets and headed out to Boston Harbor. We joined three researchers and experts with one goal in mind: to better understand how climate change is impacting the Boston Harbor Islands. Maybe you've seen them from an airplane as you head into Logan Airport, or maybe you've hit one of the more popular islands on a weekend ferry trip from downtown Boston. I, for one, didn't even know they were here, right under my nose. I also didn't know just how much they can tell us about the very present impact of climate change on our coastal region.
Follow the captain's guidance at all times.
It's Earth Week on The Common. Every day this week, we're bringing you a different story from around Greater Boston, exploring the very present impacts of climate change across the region. Today, we're in a boat with Mark.
My name is Mark Albert. I'm the Director of Science and Stewardship Partnerships for the National Parks of Boston. We are heading out to the Boston Harbor Islands National and State Park today to check out coastal erosion and talk about climate impacts and climate resilience. There are 30 islands out in Boston Harbor, most of which are actively eroding, which is a natural process. And we're trying to figure out how much is sort of natural background levels of erosion and how much is additional erosion due to sea level rise and increased intensity of storms.
Which island are we going to?
We're going to check out George's Island, we're going to check out Lovell's Island, Gallup's Island, and Long Island, and probably some others. You can see more of the islands right now, and you can see that these islands are, they're hilly, and that's because most of the islands here in the middle of the harbor are part of this drowned drumlin system. A drumlin is essentially a pile of material that was deposited and then sculpted by glaciers as they melt and retreat. And you can see them all around us. They're also present in downtown Boston. Beacon Hill is a drumlin that's part of this same geologic system.
My name's Zoe Hughes, and I am a research assistant professor at Boston University. We've got drumlins, which are kind of glacial features that make up the high areas of the islands, and then there's these really low-lying areas that join them together. And those low-lying areas are kind of threatened by sea level rising, just because they're going to be flooded and overwashed more often. And then the drumlins are threatened by erosion, which is going to be happening faster as sea level rises, and as storms get more intense, the waves will get bigger. And that will happen more often, and so you'll see more erosion.
Erosion is a geological process where materials, such as sand or rock, are broken down and moved. When we look at coastal places like the Boston Harbor Islands, erosion can lead to the loss of shorelines, which is basically the loss of land.
We have various different rates that we can see. So if you look in that direction, you can see Lovell's Island. And you can kind of see a yellow cliff, maybe right in the middle of that island. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. So that particular bluff is retreating at about 80 or 90 centimeters a year. So almost a meter a year it's retreating back.
Is that a lot?
Yes, that's a lot. That is a lot. So it's going about 3 foot a year. Other drumlins are going a lot less fast. So the one behind you there is Pedux. It's really tall. And that end of Pedux is going about 20 centimeters, so less than a foot a year.
Like Mark said earlier, erosion is a natural process. But the speed at which erosion is happening in places like the Boston Harbor Islands, that might not be so natural.
How can you, if at all, connect the erosion we're seeing up to 3 feet a year in some spots with climate change?
It's really simple connection between sea level rising and storms getting worse and waves undercutting bluffs and causing the sediment to be released faster. And those waves eat the cliff back. So that's one way we know that it's happening, through data, but also through climate prediction. We know that we are expecting to see, you know, more intense storms at least. Bigger waves, more erosion.
So right now we're passing by Thompson Island and heading towards Spectacle Island as we sort of just enter the sort of broader open Boston Harbor.
Are we worried about erosion on Spectacle Island?
Yes, we're worried about erosion on all the islands. Although Spectacle Island was more recently engineered with erosion in mind. So for example, you can see those rocks there. That's riprap that's intended specifically to, you know, diminish any erosion. Whereas if you turn this way, you can see the northern tip of Thompson Island, and there's very active erosion right there. You can see trees falling onto the beach, and that's sort of the natural, you know, undeveloped coastal bluff condition there.
If you're not on the water in a boat floating in the harbor, it can be easy to feel detached from the islands. But Duncan Fitzgerald, a marine geologist and professor in the Earth and Environment Department of Boston University, says these islands have a direct relationship to how we in Boston fare on land.
When we have increased storm surges as a result of increased magnitude and frequency of storms, most of that storm surge is going to enter through the main channels that enter into Boston Harbor. At the same time, the winds are going to be blowing and building large waves that ordinarily wouldn't be cut off, wouldn't be dampened, if it were not for the Boston Harbor drumlins. And so the storm waves cut down a little bit in the storm surge, but they certainly cut down on wave energy in the inner shoreline.
So they, in some ways, are protecting the shore.
Oh, they're certainly protecting.
We'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani. And this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back.
Mark, I know this is something that you folks pay attention to at the parks a lot. Zoe was just telling us about erosion. It's faster, it's coming. What do we lose when we physically lose land that's eroding away?
Yeah, that's our big question going forward, is how do we prioritize conserving the park when we know the park is eroding faster and faster? We are losing coastal breeding bird habitats. We are losing indigenous sites across probably just about all of the islands. We're losing layers of post-colonial history, and we're losing this incredible archipelago of open space. And right now, the National Park Service and other members of the Boston Harbor Islands Partnership are working with researchers to understand where erosion is likely to be worst soonest and make decisions about conserving the most important things. There's no playbook for this, so we're figuring it out as we go with the best available science we can get.
Do you feel like there's going to be hard choices?
Absolutely. Every town is going to have hard choices. I think we as a sort of society have hard choices to make about living with a changing coast and living with rising seas and increased storminess. And at the park level, we have similarly difficult choices. The ancestors of the Massachusett tribal nation have been here in Boston Harbor for thousands of years. Most of their creations and the sites that are associated with their cultural histories are not documented or not known. So we don't even know, and they importantly don't know, what is being lost in these storms. There are personal connections to people's ancestors in this place for 8,000 or more years. So all of that is impacted storm by storm.
How do we judge what's more important? I don't envy the person that gets to make those decisions. I just provide the information about how fast things are happening, and someone else has to make the decision as to what they value most. There's only about 5 flooded drumlin fields in the world. 2 of them are in Ireland, 1 is in Nova Scotia, 1 is in the Patagonia, hidden somewhere down in a valley, and then 1 is here in Boston. So this is like a really special kind of environment that just doesn't occur. And it's right on people's doorstep. And then there's all the things that are on them, cultural resources that they hold that people should be visiting and seeing, that we would lose if, you know, the island disappeared.
The Boston Harbor Islands won't disappear overnight. But as the frequency of storm events increase and sea levels rise, the face of these drowned drumlins have the potential to change significantly. And in time, parts could cease to exist as we know them. We asked Duncan and Zoe what chance there is of slowing erosion and other climate impacts seen on the islands.
Stop global warming. We're not going to,
yeah.
Bottom line. We're not going to. It's going to be accelerating. We're not going to stop.
Sadly, one of the things we can do is work out the areas that we want to preserve more than others and start prioritizing. It's kind of got to that stage.
How worried are you about the possibility of it changing as erosion and sea level rise continues?
Well, I guess I'm concerned about us making thoughtful decisions, and at the same time,
the world is always changing. There's never been a time when the Earth wasn't actively changing, and when, you know, our culture wasn't actively changing. So I guess I'm concerned that we take it seriously, but I'm also hopeful that we will wrap our heads around this and figure out how to live with a changing coast in Boston, in New England, and figure out ways to continue to enjoy this amazing Earth even while climate is changing.
As climate change continues to impact the region, interested parties are working hard to identify how they can best preserve and understand the Harbor Islands into the future. Groups like Stone Living Lab, which is a collaboration between academic, government, and nonprofit groups, are monitoring changes in erosion and sea level rise in the Boston Harbor. And they're working with partners to explore natural-based approaches to resiliency. Things like the creation of new generations of seawalls and cobble berms, which is another tool for protecting shorelines. Also, the City of Boston's archaeology team and other archaeologists are working with the Massachusetts Tribal Nation and coastal geologists from BU to identify and document sites where indigenous creations might soon erode. Today's episode is one part of our ongoing Earth Week series, looking at the impact of climate change in our local community. Check out the rest of our coverage at WBUR.org or wherever you're listening now. And if you have thoughts on today's episode, please email us at thecommon@WBUR.org or message us on Instagram. Today's episode was produced by Caitlin Hara. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.